Life, you might say, is a journey. And the theme of being on a journey is certainly evident in our readings this morning, and of course where we are in the church season as we're in Lent and we journey towards Jerusalem with Jesus. It's a journey, the end of one chapter marking the beginning of the next. And though we journey through this world, we trust in the hope that one day we will cross over the Jordan and live in eternity with our risen Lord Jesus Christ. But how we journey through this world, well, it matters. And as with any journey, there are dangers, those that we can see and those that remain hidden. There are pitfalls that may befall us. There are also joyous experiences, wondrous moments that are worth holding on to. The journey is the shared sum of our experience, defining who we are as individuals. In his book, The Fellowship of the Ring, Tolkien writes this. He says, writes, "The road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. Now far ahead the road has gone, and I must follow if I can, pursuing it with eager feet until it joins some larger way where many path and errands meet, and whither then I cannot say." Life is a great journey, and we are blessed to be on that road with God, Creator, Son, and Spirit. And the author of Psalm 121 knew the dangers that one could experience on the road. And Psalm 121 is often referred to as the traveler's psalm. But it is about more than merely traveling to a new destination or going on the family vacation. As we journey through Lent, we need to ask ourselves, where is it that we are traveling and why? What is the purpose of our trip? What do we hope to learn? What do we hope to discover? What do we hope to see? The psalm itself is broken down into two parts, the first of which is the first two verses, which might be formed as a concerned question followed by an answer. And then the second part is the remainder, verses 3 through 8, which form a priestly blessing. "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." In these two verses, we see a chiastic pattern. We lift our eyes to the hills, and our help comes from the one who made those very hills. And we might think that we are looking to the hills, that we are looking for God, but it is just as likely that within those hills is lurking some hidden danger. And so we may be looking at those hills with fear and distrust, not knowing what is out there. Like walking down the Jericho Road, the hills held thieves and robbers, those who would do us harm. The psalmist reminds us that it is from God that our help comes. Psalm 121 reminds us that God protects, shields, watches over, guards, and keeps us. In God we can trust. This is good news, just as the promise we have in Jesus Christ is good news. News that matters. That through Jesus we can have access to life abundant. All this is through God. Now it doesn't mean that the road is easy, nor does it mean that there aren't dangers or pitfalls before us. What it means is that God is with us, no matter what we may face in life. In John's Gospel reading this morning, we receive the promise that Jesus does not come to condemn, but to save. Jesus does not come to judge, but to offer life. In John's Gospel, sin is defined as not believing in Jesus, therefore not having a relationship with Jesus, not being in relationship with Jesus. You'll recall last week that quote I used from Douglas John Hall, which reminds us that that term sin isn't a list of misdemeanors, but of broken relationship. And so for John and his gospel, to be without sin is to believe in Jesus. And for John, Jesus does not come to condemn or to judge. And this is why I added those extra two verses. Because the world already sits in judgment as it has turned its back on God, as it lives in darkness. And so Jesus comes not to condemn the world, because the world has already condemned itself. Jesus comes to save, to bring the light, to remind us that we are a created people. Jesus comes to offer an eternal relationship of love, grace, and mercy. But the world we live in, we ourselves, we often choose death. The world chooses death over life. And it does it repeatedly. It does it without thinking, without regard for the consequences. Professor Rolf Jacobson reminds us that we live in a bad news world. He writes, the world is so full of bad news, sad news, angry news, judgmental news, scary news, divisive news, death news. Those who live in the world are so bombarded by that which degrades and divides, shames and blames, threatens and frightens. And the world so desperately needs to hear that which is truly good and truly good news, that Jesus saves. That Jesus is life itself. Life abundant. And we find that message so abundantly clear in John's Gospel, in John 3:16, which is perhaps the best known piece of scripture that there is in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It is a wonderful promise that those who are in relationship with Jesus Christ will have eternal life. But I believe it extends larger than this. I believe that God's grace is bigger than this. This week I was reading the book Resurrecting Religion by Greg Paul, and I quoted his paraphrase of the Beatitudes a few weeks back. But there was a passage in Greg's book that just leapt off the page at me. Greg is writing about a gentleman named Matt who had taken his own life. And Greg's really honest. And he tells the reader that he did not like Matt. He didn't care for him at all. But that through a variety of circumstances, this individual, this Matt, was basically screwed from birth. But about the injustice of Matt's life and death, Greg writes the following. My anger about Matt's death looks for someone to blame and ultimately rests on God himself. God's wrath transmutes through Jesus into a fiery determination that those upon whom every evil force has been concentrated, such that the opportunity of meaningful choice has been negated, will nevertheless see salvation instead of damnation. Redemption instead of condemnation, healing instead of ultimate decay, reconciliation instead of banishment, honor instead of degradation. This is not a get out of hell free card. This is the key to the city, a last shall be first miracle. Greg writes about the beautiful promises that we find in the Beatitudes. But it echoes in John's words that we have this morning, that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ to us. A strong reminder, and it is reinforced in the words of the psalmist, that as we journey through life, our help comes from God. God who made heaven and earth and all that is contained therein. And as we journey through Lent in this bad news world, it is good to keep the words of the psalmist close at hand. A psalm that begins with a question: from where shall my help come? And ends with a priestly blessing. Close your eyes and listen closely again to the words of the psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you, your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore. Amen.